Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that life is worth the living because Jesus lives. He lives in each and every one of us who know him as our Lord and Savior. He lives to ever intercede for us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the privilege we have of being known as children of the living God. And we worship you this morning. We thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for our church here at Grace Point. It is not our church, it's your church. And Lord, we thank you for this body of Christ that is here on this hill. And Lord, we pray that as we grow and as we move forward, you would continue to use us to impact this community. Lord, I pray for those who are unwell this morning, who aren't able to join us. I pray, Lord, that you would touch them. You would heal them physically. And Jesus, we think especially of Dave Botcher in the operating room right now, Lord. We pray that you would guide the surgeon's hands and, Lord, that he would recover quickly, that you would heal him and Shelley. And we pray for them, Lord. We pray for the Botcher family. Wrap your arms around them, comfort them, and give them peace. So, Lord, as we look at your word, we thank you so much for your word that speaks to us, that is alive, is full of such richness, the word of God. We thank you, Lord. And I pray that you would speak to us this morning. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to us, even as we're sitting in our seats and we're here, Lord, that it wouldn't just be the words of man, but that you would speak to us. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning again. Just a notice, we're going to have a business meeting right after the service. Many of you know about that. This is for members. Non-members, you're welcome to stay. It won't take long. If you'd just stay after the service, and it's the motion that we're going to be voting on the worship leader. So we'd love for you to join us for that. Non-members, you're welcome to stay. This week is the second week on... can you hear me? Some of the lights went out. Or can you see me? Some of the lights went out. My notes are a little dimmer, that's why. Thank you, David. It's the second on our series on hearing God's voice this week. Last week I spoke about why God speaks to us. And you remember I spoke about Samuel, the calling of Samuel in the temple of God. And the two primary reasons that I mentioned why God speaks to us. The first one is God speaks to us in order to build a relationship with us so that we get to know him. He speaks to identify himself so we get to know him. We're able to know God, the creator of the universe. Isn't that incredible? He speaks so we can have and develop a relationship with him. Samuel didn't know God before God called him. Even though Samuel was in the temple for about 9 or 10 years, before God called him, he did not know God. He was going through the routine and the ritual of the temple. But then God called him, and Eli told him, "That's the voice of God. Tell me what he says to you." And that transformed Samuel's life because now he knew who God was. The second reason why God speaks is to call people into action. God speaks so that people are mobilized, they're activated. God speaks to tell you to do something. And so we'll go into that a little bit next week. God speaks, and we need to respond. How do we respond, and what is our response to the voice of God? So again, last week was about God speaking to us, the two reasons, so we can learn about him, and then secondly, as we know God, we begin to testify who he is with others around us. We begin to witness to others of the relationship we have with Jesus Christ. But this week I want to look at another commissioning, another well-known passage of Scripture where God calls someone, and it's the calling of Moses, Moses being called out of the burning bush. And I know that Dr. Jerry Kane spoke on this 4 or 5 weeks ago, but I'm not going to use his notes. I believe the Lord has something different for us this morning. But you'll be familiar with the passage. But I want to look at it again. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Exodus 3, 1 to 6. I'll be juggling a microphone today. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Little did Moses know that that morning when he took his sheep out into the pasture, what was about to happen that day. He went out, but he didn't realize that this was the most significant day of his life. It was a day that was not only significant for Moses, but it impacted nations. It impacted the Egyptians. It impacted the children of Israel. God called Moses to action. But Moses was ready. He wasn't sitting back under a tree sleeping. He was alert. He was paying attention. He was watching for things. And as God speaks to us, as we are ready to hear God's voice, as we're ready to see God leading and guiding us, we need to be alert. We need to be ready. Moses was ready. That's why God could speak to him. He was diligent and alert. God is looking for people today who are diligent and alert, going about what God's called them to do. But what follows when this passage that I read, what follows is another two chapters, just a little less than two chapters, of one of the longest dialogues between God and man in the Bible. One of the most significant dialogues that we have in the Bible. Again, as I say, it was a dialogue, though, that forever changed the nation of Egypt. But it proved that God was faithful to the covenant that he had made with Abraham. God had not forgotten the children of Israel. And so God calling Moses related to the covenant that he had had with Abraham. So, and this is the part I'm going to steal from Dr. Cain's message. For 40 years, Moses lived in Egypt, and he was trained in the house of Pharaoh, and he was well equipped. And then he murdered an Egyptian. You remember that story? And so he went into a self-imposed exile. He went into the wilderness, and he left Egypt. Now he was 80 years old. He was not a young man. He was 80 years old, and for 40 years, he had been in the wilderness tending his father-in-law's flock, wandering around in the wilderness with sheep. For 40 years. The place that he came to this particular day was Horeb, the mountain Horeb. And its name means dry. Dry land, dry desert wilderness. Moses must have thought every day as he was wandering around there, hearing the name and seeing Horeb, he must have thought, I'm in a dry place. Spiritually, emotionally, he was dry. He was probably thinking, I'm just going to be doing this till the day I die. There's not much left. I had a great time in Egypt for 40 years, living in the palace and being treated and having the best education. And he wondered if he'd ever be able to see that land again. He maybe thought, I'll never see that land again. I'll never see the fertile lands of Egypt again. He was in a dry place. But then God calls. He was all alone in the middle of nowhere, and he sees a burning bush. And he goes over to see, well, this is strange because the bush is not being consumed, so I'm going to go on over and have a look at it. And can you imagine being all alone and walking up to a bush and you're hearing the crackling of the fire and then Moses, Moses. The scripture doesn't give us the emotion behind it. simply says, "Here I am." I don't think he responded that way. I'm sure he was shaking and he was looking around to see who was there. He must have been afraid. But you know, Moses responded the same way as his forefathers had, the same way Abraham did, the same way Jacob did, and exactly the same way Samuel did. "Here I am. I am available. What do you want to say, God? Speak to me." God's looking today for people who are available, people who will respond to the voice of God. But Moses still wasn't sure who was speaking to him. Much the same as Samuel had done, Moses didn't know the voice of God. He didn't know God because he walked up and he began this dialogue with this voice coming out of the bush. And then God says, "I am," in verse 6, "the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Moses realized suddenly who he was speaking to, and he was afraid. As I said, what follows is a long dialogue between God and Moses, one of the longest discourses we have in the Bible. And in that chapter 3 and 4, we see Moses trying to tell God why he is disqualified for the position he was being called to. Moses goes out of his way to explain to God, to say, "I cannot do this. I am not good enough. I am disqualified." In Moses' mind, he had disqualified himself already. He'd spent 40 years in the wilderness. In those 40 years, he'd beaten himself up every day. "Woe is me. I'll never amount to anything. I'll never be able to be used by God." And Moses continued to say to God, "I'm not good enough. I cannot do that." False humility. False humility is one of the things that is very common today. Moses had false humility. Because if God calls you, God knows who he's calling. God knows you better than you know yourself. God knew Moses better than Moses knew himself. And Moses was saying, "I'm not good enough." And God said, "I'm calling you. But I'm calling you because I know you and I know that you have what I have put in you." God doesn't call us because of anything special within us. The only redeeming quality you and I have before the Almighty God is Jesus Christ, our hope of glory. That's the only thing that redeems us before the Almighty God is Jesus Christ in us. And so when God calls you, you shouldn't say, "Well, yes, you know, actually I have some good qualities about me. I knew you'd call me one day. I got a couple of things that I'm pretty good at." God doesn't look at that. There's nothing you and I could bring to God that would impress him. There's nothing that we have in and of ourselves that God would say, "Yeah, well, that's pretty good. I could use that." No, God looks at us, and by his grace, he sees Jesus. And the more Jesus he sees in us, the more he can use you and me. So don't go to God and say, "Well, I'm not good enough," when God calls you. He's calling you because of his son. He's put his hand on you because he sees Jesus in you. False humility is offensive to God. False humility is actually the ugliest form of pride. So be careful when God calls you. You know, the dialogue goes on to say that Moses questioned God and argued with God backwards and forwards, and finally God got angry. And I think then Moses then knew he better just obey. Let's not get God angry. But getting back to the range of mountains called Horeb, it's in the same range where Mount Sinai is. It's the same mountain, the mountain of God. Mount Sinai, where just a few months later, actually, in Exodus chapter 19, Moses is bringing the children of Israel, and they come to Mount Sinai, and that's where they encounter God. Moses leads the children of Israel out to the mountain, and God gives Moses the law. A very different encounter. Moses was a different man then, but as I said, it was only a few months later. If you look at the timeline, it wasn't long between when God called Moses and Moses already was leading the children of Israel and they were standing beside Mount Sinai. But listen to Exodus chapter 19 at the encounter. It's very different. Exodus 19, verse 16 through 19. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. What a difference. What a difference how God spoke in majesty and power on Mount Sinai. But we just get in that, we get a tiny glimpse as to the awesome character and nature of God. He can not only make a mountain tremble, he can make the entire universe tremble because he holds it all in his hand. But Moses was a different man. The man a few months ago who was trembling before the burning bush was now leading a nation, a large nation. He was a different man because he'd been equipped by God. He was ready. He became one of the greatest leaders in all of history. This man that said, I cannot do it. I don't speak very well. No one will follow me, became one of the greatest leaders in all of history. This is what happens, though, when somebody listens to the voice of God and acts in obedience. Just saying yes to God is enough faith for God to fill you with his presence and to use you for his glory. Again, it's not our abilities that God's looking for. It's how much of Jesus is in us, how much we allow Jesus to move and to be controlling our lives. So today I want to ask the question, how does God speak? And I touched on it a bit last week. And this is a very interesting and a very wide subject, very difficult to cover in 20 minutes. But I'm going to give you a few pointers about that. God still speaks today. God spoke to Moses from a burning bush, but he still speaks today. Just because God spoke in a certain way back then doesn't mean to say he cannot do the same thing today. He is the almighty, all-knowing God. Just because he's never done something that way before doesn't mean to say he cannot do it that way today. We can never put God in a box and say, well, he cannot do that because he's never done that before. Almighty God is God, and he can. You know, Moses, when he heard from God and he spoke to God, he didn't have the Bible. In fact, he wrote, according to scholars, he wrote the first five books of the Bible. He didn't have a radio. He didn't have TV speakers and preachers. He didn't have the internet. He had nothing but his relationship with God. But primarily how God speaks to us today, God will not be limited, but primarily he speaks to us through his word, the word of God. The Word of God is how God speaks to us. It is our primary source of hearing from God and developing our relationship with God. Our primary source is in His Word. It is His revelation. It is particular revelation of Himself to mankind. So if we want to find and develop our relationship with the Lord, we need to be studying the Bible. We need to be reading the Bible. We need to know what the Word of God says, allowing Him to speak to us every day. It's not just simply a collection of writings. It is the most incredible book, the Word of God. Paul, writing to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 6:17, calls it the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is our only offensive weapon against the enemy. We need to know what the Bible says. Jesus knew what the Bible says, what the Word says, when he was tempted, and it was his weapon. We desperately need to know how to use this weapon of warfare. But 2 Timothy 3:16 also says, All Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. And He's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This is not, again, an ordinary book. We need to know. This is our life source for our Christian walk. We need to be meditating on the Scriptures daily. But having said that, God is not limited to speaking to us only through the Scriptures. After all, He is God. He could speak in any way He wishes. God used a rooster crowing three times to speak to Peter. God can use different things. A donkey speaking to Balaam. But God doesn't limit Himself. And as we study the Scriptures, though, we learn about how God speaks, but also the Holy Spirit calls to mind Scriptures. Like I mentioned last week, when God called me and used Luke 12:48, I didn't know what Luke 12:48 said. I just got the text in my mind. And God spoke to me through that. The danger, though, of being a student of the Bible, and sometimes seminary students struggle with this, is that the Bible is supposed to take us into a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with God. Sometimes it becomes a relationship with a book. Never let your relationship be with the book. Let your relationship be with the author of the book. God speaks to us, though, also through other people. Other people in our lives. We all need mentors in our lives. People that can come alongside us, encourage us, pray for us. God speaks to us through those. People that would speak to us the truth in love. People we can trust. I'm blessed to have a few people like that who truly can speak into my life and encourage me. Numbers 15, verse 2 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them.'" So the Lord was saying, go and speak. Tell them what I say. Isaiah 28:11. "Very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongue, God will speak to this people." God uses other people to speak, but also God uses circumstances. Circumstances around us speak to us. We don't have to look further than the life of Joseph in Genesis 50, verse 20. When his brothers met him in Egypt, and Joseph was now one of the top leaders in Egypt, and his brothers came and realized who he was and apologized, Joseph said to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." God saw that how had God used these incredibly difficult circumstances that he had been through for his glory. God saw, Joseph saw the hand of God in those situations. And he saw, yes, that was difficult, but God used that. God also speaks to us in words of wisdom and knowledge from other people. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7-9, speaking about the gifts of the Spirit, verse 7, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit." God will speak to us as the Holy Spirit speaks to other people. We need to test that, though, as well. And I'll go on about that, is how do we test the voice of God? But also, and this is very, unusual, but not uncommon, is the audible voice of God. People have heard the audible voice of God. Moses heard the audible voice of God. But in 1 Kings 19, verse 11 to 12, we read about Elijah the prophet. And Elijah met with God on the mountain. And the interesting thing is it's the same mountain. It's Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. God spoke to Elijah on the same mountain. And the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore through the mountain, tore it apart, and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. That was the voice of God. And Elijah immediately recognized it, and he covered his face, and he went out of the cave and spoke to God. God still speaks to us today in this still small voice. as believers in Jesus Christ who have made Jesus our Lord and Savior, we have the Holy Spirit in us, the promised comforter, counselor, as I preached about a few weeks ago. And we have the ability, as God speaks to us through the promptings of the Holy Spirit, He nudges us, prompts us, directs us to Scripture, gives us words of encouragement for other people. And sometimes God tells us to do something that is seemingly unusual. Just go and speak to that person. Well, I don't know what to say. Just go and speak to that person. And then we go and the Lord opens up something that is incredible. A life is changed. A life is saved. But God also uses surprising methods to speak. No, we don't have to look further than this passage that we're looking at this morning. God used a burning bush that didn't burn up. It's surprising. It's unusual. God still uses unusual ways today. We need to be alert, though. Moses would have missed it if he, again, was just focused on his sheep or was focused on sleeping and resting. No, he was alert. He was awake. He was observing what was going on. And being alert, God was able to speak to him. God still speaks in dreams as well. The scripture's full of dreams. Daniel, the dreamer, God spoke to him in dreams. But today we hear thousands of stories. This is one of the most, and I mentioned this a couple of years ago when I was preaching here, but how God spoke, or God is currently speaking to Muslim people all around the world. And Jesus is revealing himself to them in dreams and saying, I am Jesus, the Lord. And they respond and make Jesus Lord of their lives. Those dreams are happening today all over the world. Remarkable things are happening. God is not limited by our understanding. Even in the unreached people groups, in the closed parts of the world where Christians are not allowed to go to, God is speaking to people. God also speaks to us as we hear sermons. Lord willing, as I'm preaching and speaking, you're not hearing the voice of a semi-educated man, but that God speaks to you. God speaks to you through His Word every Sunday, and it is an awesome responsibility to be able to speak the Word of God, but just as well, you have to respond as God speaks to you. You can sit here every Sunday and say, that was a pleasant message, and yeah, that was good. No, my heart, my challenge is that you would have something to take away, something that God speaks to you and says, go and do this now. Go and try this in your life. That's God speaking to you Sunday by Sunday. But as I mentioned, God speaks to you in many different ways. There's many different ways that God can speak to us. And we cannot put God in a box. But we need to test the Word of God. We need to make sure that it's the voice of God, not the voice of man or the voice of the enemy coming to confuse, coming to distract us. There's a lot of that in the world, unfortunately. So the one way to test it, firstly, is does it line up with Scripture? God's not going to tell you to do something that does not line up with Scripture. He will always be confirmed by the Word of God. And then secondly, does it exalt Jesus Christ? God's going to speak to you. He's going to tell you to do something. The primary motivation is to exalt Jesus Christ and lift the name of Jesus higher. So that's two simple tests. There's others that we could look at. But two, one is, does Scripture confirm it, and does it exalt Christ? God won't be angry if you say to God, if He gives you an instruction and you feel the Lord's leading you, He's not going to be angry with you if you say, Lord, I just need a sign. I need something just to confirm this, Lord. A fleece, if you will. Something just to help me know this is of you. God's not going to be upset by that. But if you keep doing that and keep saying, no, I can't because of this and that, God might find someone else, or God might get upset with you as He did with Moses. Be obedient. Be obedient to the voice of God. So test the Word of God, but be obedient. So my challenge to you today is, are you hearing the voice of God? Is God speaking to you? And I've heard a lot of people say, and Christy once when she was younger would cry and say, God doesn't speak to me. I didn't mean to embarrass you, Christy. But God does speak to you. Now, one of the reasons why we don't hear God speaking to us, I alluded to this last week, Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Well, I can't hear God speaking. Well, there's too much noise in your life. And you're speaking all the time. How can you hear God speaking when you're speaking all the time? Be still and know that I am God. Allow Him to speak to you. You have to be still. Quieten your life. Turn off the radio when you're driving in the car. Turn off the TV when you're at home. Spend time alone with God, meditating on His scriptures, allowing God to speak to you. Here's another piece of valuable guidance, Paul writing to the Philippian church in Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Meditate on these things. Think about these things. Let them consume you and fill your mind. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Meditate on those things. Seek those things out. Let them fill your mind. Because what happens is when we fill our mind with the troubles and the cares of this world, we get distracted. If you turned on the radio and listened to talk radio every day, or the 24/7 cable news TV channels every day, and you consumed your time with watching and listening to those, you'd probably pack your bags and move to Argentina, become extremely depressed, because it's not excellent. It's not praiseworthy. It's not pure. A lot of it's not true. The truth is God's word. And for God to speak to you, you need to meditate on things that are holy and pure. Focus on the things that God wants you to focus on. I'm not saying that we all need to become monks and go and separate ourselves from the world. No, but we can choose what we listen to. We can choose what we fill our mind with. We can choose what we meditate on and spend time reading and looking at. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it. How do we guard our heart? Well, what we allow into our heart, into our lives, is what we meditate on, what we think on, what we dwell on. Guard your heart. Don't be absorbed and obsessed with the world. If we want to become more like Christ, which should be all of our goals, to become more like Jesus Christ, we need to take this seriously. We need to limit our time dwelling on things that are temporal, things that are fleeting, things that have no consequence. People say, well, I don't hear God speaking to me. I don't know the will of God for my life. How can I know the will of God for my life? Romans 12:2. Makes it pretty clear. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test. See, you can test it. And approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. There it is. Transform your mind. Think on things that God would have you think on. Focus on those things. So I encourage you this morning to develop a life of listening, a lifestyle of listening to God, a lifestyle of meditating on God's word, allowing Him to speak to you. Remember, again, I'll go back to the prayer journals that I have. Start a prayer journal. Write down what you just feel God saying to you in prayer. And it's good to, as you're reading through the scriptures and a verse jumps out at you, write it down. What does it mean to you? What is God saying to you through that verse? Meditate on it. Start a prayer journal. Test God, but be obedient. So test the voice of God, lining up against Scripture, lining up against, does it exalt Christ? But then be obedient. Don't hold back. But you also may be sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. All this is talk that doesn't really make any sense or make much reason to you. But I've got good news for you today. Today, you can ask Jesus to be your Lord, your Savior, and make Him Lord of your life. Along with that comes the greatest privilege any human being could have is we can have a relationship and communicate with the Creator of the universe. What greater privilege could there be? Every morning, every day, 24 hours a day, anytime you can kneel down and speak to and pray to the Creator and Sustainer of the universe. What a privilege. How else can we live? So today, if you want to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and begin on that journey of getting to know God, that relationship with God, I invite you to come forward and I'd love to pray with you during the singing of our final hymn. Today, you can begin that journey. Remember, there's two reasons why God speaks to you. The first one is relationship. He wants you to get to know Him. He knows you. He wants you to get to know Him as your Heavenly Father. And then secondly, He's going to give you the plan and will for your life that He has for you and lead and direct you on a pathway that'll surpass anything the world can offer. We have good friends of ours from Georgia here, Jerry and Ginger Anderson, and they just popped in, and I didn't mean to do this morning, but just talking about the pathway that God has for you. 15 years ago, we came to America, Debbie and I, and I was looking for a job, and no one would hire me. Well, no one even gave me an interview, but Jerry interviewed me and gave me a job. Little did we know that was the beginning steps that brought me here today. And it's incredible. You never know what relationships God's going to bring into your life. You never know the next step that God has for your life. But He does have plans for you that'll blow your mind. Trust Him. He is your Heavenly Father. Your Father knows what you need, and He knows you better than you know yourself. Let us pray together. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that Your Word speaks to us. It is rich. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. But I pray, Lord, that as we go into this week and as we meditate on Your Word, as we pray, that You would speak to us. Lord, that we would get to know You as our Father, that our relationship with You would grow, that we'd know more of You. But as we do that, we'd get to know more of Your will for our lives. We would have the faith and the courage to move forward and to be obedient to the voice of God. We thank You, Lord, for this time together and pray that You would reveal Yourself to us in unusual ways this week, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.